So we are here in the third week of Lent, on our way to Holy Week, and believe me, it's coming fast, right? I pray that we are all conscious and aware of what God is doing in our lives through this time. It's so easy to be, again, distracted, right? Because I don't know, the news, whatever is happening around us, the newspapers, all the things that we're concerned about, they all tend to just pull us away. But we are here to not only acknowledge God, but to have a relationship. And we know that this relationship works in mysterious ways. One of those mysterious ways is through prayer, right?
Yes. Amen.
So talking about prayer, it is one of those practices that is called one of those spiritual disciplines. And I don't know about you, but I don't like either word. I don't like discipline, and I don't like that term, spiritual, because it seems to put something outside of ourselves. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying, right? Like, oh, we want to do something for our spirit. It's like our spirit is standing next to us, when in reality, we are. Right? So you get why I don't like either word, but I mean, that's just me. Now, prayer is one of those practices that is, as I said, in our center. And it is the challenge, to me, is the challenge of the century for us to stay connected in prayer, to find that time to pray, to meditate upon the Lord, right? And last Friday, I went to a gathering called Jeffco Prays. Imagine that, leaders from all over the county gathering together, whether they're political, religious, and just coming together to pray. And we prayed about things that are happening in the county, in cities around the county. We prayed for leaders. We prayed for entities that are working on behalf of the people, for institutions. We prayed. And then we have breakfast. Yeah, if you have two or three gathered together, the Spirit is there, and there must be food, right? So it was neat. It was really, really neat to be able to hear the stories of people that have gone through difficulty in their lives, but somehow through prayer, God has revealed Himself in them. And that been able to go through the storms, loss, pain. It was just awesome. Now tomorrow is Monday, right? Tomorrow is Monday, and you know what happens tomorrow at 11, right? You know? What?
Prayer,
right. So tomorrow is an opportunity for us to gather together corporately, right? And pray. Pray together. Now, you may say, why? Why is this necessary? Because it's not something that is beside you, it's because it's you, right? So it is important for us as individuals to gather together and come together to put not only our requests before the Lord, but also to listen. To listen. Because we're a relationship. Right? So I would like to invite you to come tomorrow. If you cannot make it, talk to me. Because we're going to test out a conference call number so that you can be present, even if you're not there. Does that sound logical? Okay. If you cannot make it here, you can still be here. So either call me or talk to Donna before 10:30 tomorrow. We'll facilitate that for you. Now let's go to the text. As we read the psalm, we are presented with, I guess, one of those psalms that is considered to be a liturgical psalm. That means that it's considered to be part of the practice of worship, liturgy. And it's considered one of those royal or enthronement psalms, which means that it's lifting God up. It's lifting God up. Not that God needs to be lifted, right? Because we know that God is way up there. But God, in many occasions, has to be lifted up in us. So that we recognize, so that we make ourselves aware that it is this God, the one that we are connecting with.
Amen.
Right? The one that we are worshiping. It is this God who has done wonderful things, not only in our lives, but throughout history. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to worship. When you hear, oh come, right? Oh come. Let's do this together. Let's gather together. That's an invitation. And it's a call to worship. And I don't know if you have ever thought about this, but we worship for a reason. Now, that brings up the item that we could take weeks, months, and years discussing what is worship. What is worship? And what is it if it's not a demonstration? A demonstration from our part that recognizes, lifts up, and most importantly, recognizes the who, right? The one that is being lifted up and worshiped. Now we can worship anything, right? We can worship anyone. And I've heard that in many movies. I like movies. Oh, I worship this girl. Yeah, you know, that's the part that is easy for us is to recognize that romantic element, right? That connection. But we ought to ask ourselves, why is it that we do this? Why is it that we worship God? Is it out of a custom? Is it out of tradition? Is it just because I don't have anything better to do on Sunday mornings? Right? Why? Well, we worship because of who He is. Amen?
Yes, amen.
It's not just because we are in the right mood or we are in the right place. We worship because of who He is. And the psalm tells us He's the rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation. He is a great God and a great King. Among all gods, small g, right? Is our God. He's owner and He is creator of all things. Now, I don't know if you're making a list, you should be. Because these are all things that should be present in our minds when we have doubts about what we're doing.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, people. Is God worthy to be praised?
Amen.
I wonder why. Why? Why is He worthy? Well, all these things that we're talking about. He's our provider. I don't know, the women had this study about all the names of God, right?
Yes.
There's plenty. Right?
Amen.
As we recognize who this God is, He is worthy. And the important part about that is that we need to recognize that in our lives. It's not only infatuation. It's not only that romanticized idea of someone being carried away. Oh my God, just loves me so much. And it's not that. It's not even unreasoned passion, because sometimes that's what we're thinking about when we worship. But it's all about developing a love relationship with God. All right. Now, as all love relationships go, music is important. Now, Judith knows, I don't know if you know this, but Latinos, man, we're romantic as you can be, right? There's something about a nice bolero, right? That is captivating. And music, it's an integral part of how we express ourselves. You know that because, you know, the melodies that are accompanying the sounds, they're swaying, they're captivating. I remember one of my professors in seminary, he wrote a book about mission of the church. And one of the things that he lifted up and mentioned, how the Hispanic Latino expression of that worship was, is that a lot of folks who turned their life around because of the gospel message went to the sheet of paper and wrote down lyrics in expression of their gratitude. And those were accompanied with music. And at all times, that music was the reflection of the music they would be singing to their girlfriends, right? Or their boyfriends. He was that expression of love. And if you listen to that, I mean, this song says sing, right?
Yes.
When we say, we are yours, right? When we say, we love you, God, immediately we recognize that there's an intimacy there. Right? There's something really, really intimate in that relationship. We love you, Lord. We raise up your name. There's language that is intended to express closeness in the relationship. And music and song have that special way of relating that sentiment to each other. Now, Martin Luther, you know who he is?
Yes.
Right, Martin Luther from 1500s, way back then, 1400s. He states this about singing. Music is a fair and lovely gift of God which has often wakened and moved me. It's a gift of God. And this is what he says. Next, after theology, I give to music the highest praise and the greatest honor. Wow. I mean, think about that, right? Music is a way of understanding God. He says, this precious gift has been bestowed on humanity alone to remind them that they are created to praise and magnify the Lord. But when natural music is sharpened and polished by art, then one begins to see with amazement the great and perfect wisdom of God in his wonderful work of music. Interestingly enough, he goes on to insult those who don't appreciate music. So he's lifting this up real steady. But that's another story. I won't go into that. Now imagine this. A person who is connecting with God, and he is stating that music is the one thing that helps us in our theology. Now, God created us with this ability to express our innermost thoughts with music and with song. And the invitation that we hear in the psalm is to sing and to make a boring noise. What?
Joyful noise.
Oh, okay. Now, please tell me, what is a joyful noise?
Praise, hallelujah.
I mean, what is it, right? If that's the prescription, then how do we make a joyful noise? I use instruments, right? To make noise. Hopefully that noise is somewhat nice. And I tell you, when I was reading the psalm, I was thinking about all the things that I cannot say because I simply do not have the words. I know 3 languages and a half and a quarter. French really didn't stick. And imagine, even with all that language, I still can't find the words to express the true nature of my love relationship with God. So he says, make a joyful noise. Now that description, joyful, then is the one that we recognize as what should be in our hearts. Joy. Joy because what? Because I'm cool? Because I'm happy? Because I feel good? What is that joy about? You see, it's all about whom we're directing our noise to. Who we're directing our hearts to. It's all about this God. And the more that we are aware of God's characteristics, what is it that makes him the target of our expressions, there more joy should come to our lives. This is a word from a commentary that I read from James Howell. It says, if we dare to sing praises to God, we'd best be careful. We'd best be careful about how we as praising people actually live. You see, there is a direct connection with what we're thinking about God and how we live our lives. Are you with me?
Yes, amen.
Because if we think that God is a punishing God, guess what? We're going to feel like we are on the receiving end of that punishment. But if we think of God as a loving God, a God that provides for us, a God that eventually, even if at the moment doesn't seem like it, is with us, then we will be at the receiving end of what we think is. So he states, if God is God, if God is magnificent, if God is worthy of all adulation, then we are on the hook to live in God-like ways. We are on the hook to live in holy and faithful and obedient ways. You see, this is the thing about God and about us. It's all about love. And love is expressed also in the way we live. Now, I know this because my daughter tells me, I love you. Right? And doesn't that bring a smile to your face when your children say, I love you, Mom. Or, I love you, Dad. But the next thing that comes out of my mouth is, yes, so if you love me, why do I have this headache? You know? Right? I mean, we always want to connect that with action. Am I right or am I the only one? Right? So it's not just a matter of the words. We love to hear the words, but we also want to see. See, all throughout the Bible, this is how it's being is how we know. There's something in the expression, even in this story, in the narrative, about what this relationship is like. God calls Abraham, right? And he calls Abraham to be the father of a nation. He says, move from here, I'm going to put you here, and I'm going to give you all this land. And I want to have an exclusive relationship with you. And you know what? Eventually Moses comes around and Moses receives from God, hey, these are the rules. You know how I feel about discipline, right? I already told you. So this is how this relationship is going to work. He asked them to obey his commandments. Not because he's a punishing God, but because he's a loving God and wants to care for them. And those commandments are going to lead them in what is good. And God keeps his side of the bargain. He saves them. He provides for them. You remember the Exodus story, right? You know, they go into the desert, ran out of water. God provides water. They ran out of food. And God provides what? Food. They somehow made it through. Even though it wasn't easy, even though in their minds they lacked everything, God provided for them. So he says, hey, you're going to be mine, but this is how I know that you will be safe and that you will be healthy. You follow that? So I'm going to give you these commands. This is how you relate to each other and how you can relate to me. And they are for your good. And they are an expression of my love relationship with you. And we know that we always seem to have trouble with that. Right? When we're talking about our way of living. This fellow mentions that when they were at Meribah, there was some contention, right? There's this problem that they were facing. If I'm not mistaken, that's the state when there was some water for them. And some of them started to say, when we were back in Egypt, you remember that? Man, we had the greatest fruits, the greatest provisions. Come on, man, you were in slavery for 400 years? We're eating bricks. Right? But in their mind, man, it was so glorious. So you see, even our mind tricks us into seeing things the way they are not. Just because maybe our desires are in the wrong place. He mentions the fact that there's a, in every church there's a Back to Egypt committee, but I'm not going to talk about that. Now, still to this day, God's grace and God's love is the one sustaining his people still to this day. God is present in our lives, and you know the word says it, his love endures forever. Amen. Now, if you consider the way that we behave and what we receive from God, it doesn't match, does it? Because we don't deserve it, but still God's bestows his love upon us. You know how we know this? This is how we know it. God sends his son. Right? And God sends his son to prove his love for us in the most painful way. So that there is no doubt in our minds. I hope that you follow what I'm saying. So that there is no doubt in my mind, in our minds, about his love. But it all goes back to worship. There's a reason why. There's a reason why this is the theme that is this put is in our forefront. Because of his love and his faithfulness, we are the ones that adore him. We are the ones that want to bow down. We receive mercy. And we are the ones that want to experience that over and over and over again. Relationship. That's worship. And that's why we praise him. Now, I try to say this every time that we start in our service, because it is so easy for us to make it about ourselves and what I need and what I want. That's how we are. That's normal. But that's why we are called, right, to worship. Oh, come. Come, people, let's gather and together and stand in the sight of our God and lift up his name. Because all the benefits that you get, all the good things that we experience come from him. Hear what the psalmist says in verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. You see, relationship is not only about us expressing. Right? All right, everybody got silent for a second. I don't know why, but I can imagine. Because this is one of the most difficult things for us to do as followers of Christ, of followers of this God. It's not only a matter of expressing in music, right, and song, a joy for and love for God. Worship requires recognition, right? He is God. And it also requires what is our position. We are the people under his care, right?
Yes, amen.
And it also requires an open ear. It requires listening.
Yes.
That's what prayer is about, right? No. You might think that prayer is about our requests. You might think that prayer is about our list of things that we need. You might think of prayer as a way to say, yes, God, we love you. But prayer is also about
listening.
And sometimes that's the part that we really don't get. Sometimes that's the part that we really neglect. Yes, it's true. Prayer is about speaking. It's about expressing our innermost thoughts. But I would like to suggest to us today that prayer is mostly about listening. Because in any relationship, we must take time to listen. 23 years, right? I don't know, there must be a testament to that statement somewhere, right? 32 years. I've heard 47 years, and there's a few more out here, right? We need to learn to listen. And listening to God is not easy. You know why? Because we are so used to talking. So it all goes back to listening to love. It all goes back to listening to love. Purposely. Intently. With this special relationship we have with God in mind. God's love is not to be romanticized, it's to be actualized. We are to live it. And in order for us to live it, we need to listen to God's ways. Is God here? Is God among us?
Yes.
How do you know? How do you know? He may be actually speaking to us right now. Right? He may be expressing his love to us right now and saying, hey guys, I'm with you always. And I pray that we may learn more and more to listen to all of his expressions of love as we share that with him, right? Just as we want to say to him, God, thank you for all what you have done. Thank you for looking out for us. Thank you for providing for us. And yes, continue to walk with us as we encounter all these situations in our lives. He may be wanting to say, son, I gave my life for you. Daughter, I've given everything for you. Let's pray. Father, and we stand here again in your presence, wanting to hear. We stand in your presence, Lord, just waiting for a word. Our spirits need feeding. We need to hear you. So Lord, I pray that we may be made free to worship you, but also free to hear you. Hear your kind words for us. Hear of your mercy. Hear of your love. And let us, Lord, recognize that you are the one that is exalted above all. That you are our Creator. And as such, you want to tell us. Help us, God, to be able to manage this relationship with you in an active way. Help us to do it with our lives. And to all, Lord, that we experience, may we always be in tune with you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.